The heavenly vision is the message from Acts 26, 1 to 20. The Christian faith is an objective faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the object of our faith. This is the substance of the Christian faith, succinctly summarized. And what is the significance of the truth to be conveyed? Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead the third day. This significant truth is, or the significant truth that we want to convey, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That He's alive. He overcame death for us. He conquered death to live forevermore. This is the key message to a dying world where death remains an impasse, an enigma, a frightening separation into an unknown, inescapable reality, future. Whenever we go to a wake, attend a funeral, we are confronted with this inevitable truth of a coming death sentence, which is being passed upon all mankind, from the youngest to the oldest. And we realize that none can escape. 10 out of 10, the statistic is indeed very accurate and absolute. And we see the prospect of death, that each one of us has to enter that door of darkness, as it were. But for the Christian, we know that faith in Jesus Christ provides the solution to the problem of death. That there is a blessing of God's power that the Christian faith is conveying to the world that can cause dead, decaying cells to come alive again. You remember when Jesus was on earth, the man Lazarus was dead for 4 days. His body was decomposed, smelly. He was already consigned to the grave, and how he received life again. Life came into him. And we realize we don't have that power to bring life. Life comes from God. And the Lord wants us to understand this great truth. There is a blessing of God's power that the Christian faith is conveying to the world. This is the power of the resurrection that is unleashed to bring a dead man to life again. This is the truth of the Christian faith, and we have it in the record of scriptures, that men who have been eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who saw the resurrected Christ, wrote in order that we may apply it to our lives. And so we were visiting one of our folks yesterday. She's no longer able to come with us to church, not well. And she said to us, "I'm coming to the end of life." A stark realization and reality. I'm coming to an end of life. And that dawning for a person that indeed life is coming to a swift end can be frightening. Can be a frightening prospect. If you are not a believer, if you are not a firm holder of the truth of the resurrection, frightening, isn't it? And as we think of it, we said, who doesn't want to live forever? It is a good question, and that begs an obvious answer. Perhaps those who are frightened of death, they have not been shown the truth that there is a better way, there is a solution to life's most difficult problem that man indeed cannot solve. But that search is over. God has raised the Christian church, our witness here, our simple witness here, to do just that, that through the preaching and the teaching of His Word, men may have the hope, or take hold of the hope of eternal life and the comforts of heaven. And therefore we went through with our dear sister in Christ concerning the hope of the resurrection. And we said to her from the book of Thessalonians, we said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We said that the Christian who dies is but asleep. It's a temporary sleep, that you will awake again. God will give you a new body in the resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And so we had to reassure her of the truth of the resurrection, that Christ rose again from the dead. And because He rose again from the dead and was ascended to heaven again, we have that hope. He being the first fruit, we know that by His resurrection, we will also rise again from the dead in the last day. And therefore, this is a truth that brings to us great joy. So the Apostle Paul said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." When we die, the body will be consigned to the ground. We bury our dead. But the soul, Paul says, would God bring with Him. Where? To the heavenly place. There is a place of rest for the prepared soul who take hold of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For this we say, Paul wrote unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we shared concerning the truth of the resurrection, that all who are buried dead, the bodies seem to be decomposed, but they are awaiting the day when Christ would come again. And you see, you know, as you go to the cemetery, we were at the cemetery on Thursday to remember some of our folks who have gone home before us in the last 2 years, how God had been with them. And we remember what God is doing, that there will come a resurrection when Jesus Christ return again. And we said that this day is soon. It's coming soon. Are you prepared? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive shall be caught up. We could be that generation that will not see death, but will be taken up to the heavenly kingdom of God. This is the hope that we have, and in particular for us who live in this generation. For the Apostle Paul, the search for the meaning of life was over when he saw the heavenly vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to him by a bright light and spoke to him and saved him and commissioned him to be a witness of the truth of the resurrection. And this is what we want to review with us today concerning eternal life and the taking hold of eternal life by the hope that Scripture brings to us. Two thoughts which we want to review as we consider the heavenly vision of the Apostle Paul. Before verse 1 to 12 and after verses 13 to 20. There is a before life and an after life, as it were. Before you receive spiritual life, you are walking as a spiritual corpse, as it were, spiritually dead, until God give you spiritual life. Open up your eyes to see the spiritual things, the spiritual dimension, to know God, to be connected with the Father in heaven. And this is a truth, right, that the Apostle Paul took hold of. And when he saw the heavenly vision, his life was totally changed. Never again would he fear death, because he knew, as he wrote in the Scriptures, absent in the body, present with the Lord. And that's what God wants us to have, the kind of a faith to take hold of God's word so that we will not fear, you know, not only the old people die, but the young people would also die. None of us can escape. And God wants each one of us to be prepared. You never know when will your race on earth, your life on earth, come to an end. And the Lord wants you to be a prepared person. Prepare for heaven. Know where you are going. And we see here in Acts chapter 26, the third time in which the Apostle Paul shared his testimony. And Luke wrote it three times for us. Chapter 9, chapter 22, and now chapter 26. Why is it so significant? Because it is a life-changing moment for him. Right? Just as it is for us when we come to know Jesus Christ. Right? Our life change, transform forever. Our perspective of life is no longer earthbound. Right? We are no longer taking hold of the things of this life. Right? Because we know that the things of this life will disappear, right, with the destruction that would come upon this earth, and that, you know, the moth and the rust will corrupt the things of this earth. And so the Lord brings for us, and through the life of the Apostle Paul, a testimony. And who was he testifying before? Here, the person is called Agrippa. Agrippa is the king of the land. He is the highest authority in the land, and he was placed now in the highest court in the land. And imagine, in the highest court with the king there, you would see that he has the audience of the influential people in the land. So news would spread. He would be testifying the truth, showing to men the solution to death's problem. Of course, there is an opposing force that is against him. His own countrymen, right, who do not believe in the resurrection. They wanted to incarcerate him, but God protected him. And so here, Paul was brought before this man, Agrippa. Right, verse 1 of our text says, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand, answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." He says that, "I believe I am a happy person." How can a man who is in bonds, in prison for 2 years, be a happy person? Well, because he knew what he was doing in his life. He knew that this prison term of 2 years, is worth the wait, because God is going to use him to influence and impact the lives of others. You know, one day when we get to heaven, the greatest reward that we have when we get to heaven is to see the people whom we had an opportunity to share the gospel with. They will come to you and say, "Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share the message of the gospel with me, that I may find salvation in Jesus Christ." This is so significant. Plucked out of hell, taken to heaven. But in this side of heaven, on earth, we don't seem to be able to see the reality and the importance of the spiritual realm. And the Lord wants us to be reminded, to jot us to understand this spiritual realm that God would want us to see and to know. He will share his testimony, and God would use him to reach out to a dying world. In fact, he was doing just what Jesus had wanted him to do. Did not Jesus say to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He said to the disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations. When you share with them the faith and they believed, then you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus says that you are sent on a commission. You are sent as a witness for the Lord. This is the most critical, important work that any man can do, any mortal man can do. And we see in our text here a witnessing situation. What do you do when God asks you to be a witness for him? Well, you share your faith. You share your testimony. And, you know, our testimony is so precious because it is unique to us. All of us encounter God in a different way. Every one of us meet God differently, come to the faith differently. In our own special way, God met with us. In our own special way, God dealt with us. In our own special way, God saved us. And so we have a story to tell. We have a message to give. Are you excited? Do you have that that desire, in your deep desire in your heart, to share the truth with the people around you, to share with them the faith. Well, this was the Apostle Paul's life. He has given himself over to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, this man, Agrippa, is no mean man. He is the great-grandson of Herod the Great. This is the man who gave the law to kill innocent children or babies during the time of Christ's birth. He knew there were wise men from the east who came and who saw this cosmic phenomena, a eastern star signaling that there is a coming Savior that is to be born. And Herod, the great-grandfather, knew the truth concerning this Messiah, this Christ that is going to come or that has come, and, you know, in a sense, try to stop the whole process. Persecuted the church. Right? But here you see Paul, five generations later, a man born, as he said, out of due time, to come and testify to the great-grandson of this man. I'm sure they have a knowledge of the faith, of the truth of the Messiah, that this man, Jesus Christ, is the Savior. They would have traces of the truth, and Paul would use his own life story to share how God had saved him. He says in verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was from the first, which at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, and testify after the most strictest sect of religion, I lived a Pharisee." He was trained under Gamaliel, the most influential Jewish teacher, and his strict training in the law as a Pharisee made him a zealot in the faith of Israel. He understood God's promise of a Messiah to Israel. And the line of his argument is this, that this Jesus, this Messiah, is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And what is so unique about this person of Jesus Christ? Verse 8, he tells them that he rose from the dead. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? This was a key stumbling point for the Jews. They do not believe in the resurrection. But Paul testified. Why did he talk about the resurrection so much? Because he was a partaker of the truth. You see, he was blind before. He was a persecutor of the church. He says in verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He did not believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he persecuted the Christians. To him, the Christians were like a cancer in the nation. And you have to just simply cut it off in order that you may protect the nation from being attacked at its most vitals, that it may not be destroyed. And this was what he did. And he said that, well, I did many things to persecute Christians. And isn't it very true if you think of our life before coming to the faith? I think of my own life, it is like that. How is it that before the time of conversion and after the time of conversion, there is a stark difference Well, the difference is this, that the person of Jesus Christ was introduced to my life. And how is it that I'm able to believe Jesus Christ? Well, as I think back, I believe it was because there was someone who cared enough to show me the Word of God concerning who Jesus Christ was. Before that, I had no idea who Jesus Christ was exactly from the Scriptures. You need someone who knows the Word, who would be willing to share that Word. And it was transformational for me. Because before that, I was debating with others concerning the faith. You show me evidence and I'll believe. But after that, how is it that there is a total allegiance and yielding to the faith? I cannot explain to you. This is the same for the Apostle Paul, and I believe for many of us here who are believers. We experience God in our lives, and we want to rehearse, you see, the movement of the Spirit of God in the lives, in our lives, so that we may rekindle that first love, that rekindle that conviction that God has saved us. And what is He doing with our life? For the Apostle Paul, that conviction, that fire never died down. It burned bright throughout his life. And he shared, right, verse 13 of our text. At midday, O King, I saw in a way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. It was a heavenly vision that was pressed upon him. You know, our conversion oftentimes comes, not that we were looking for it, but that God came looking for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How the gospel message is thrust upon us when we are most unprepared, and yet most prepared. Because He prepared our hearts, whether through difficult circumstances, whether through difficult trial in our life that caused our hearts to be tender, to be thinking, to be considering about life. Well, for the Apostle Paul, this was a turning point. And he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What is that? Well, it's a long stick that is sharpened at the end that the keepers of animals, livestock, use. Right? They would use it to prod the animal, right? So that the animal would follow the instruction of the master. And to kick at it, it means to get hurt. So the animal learned not to resist, but to submit themselves to the direction of the farmer. So this is an expression that the people in the land understood very well. It's a common scene that they see in a farming community. And what is it that Jesus said to the Apostle Paul? Well, he said, rise and stand upon thy feet. This is the first time he recounted his testimony in this way. Right? Rise, stand, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I appear unto thee. Well, God wants him to be a witness for him. And God wants you to be a witness for him in these last days. Every one of us, a priest before God, given a heavenly mandate to be a witness for the Lord. The Lord wants you to, your life to count, to make a difference for him. Wherever you are, whether it's in your school, whether it's in your workplace, wherever the Lord would bring you this week, may the Lord use you. And your testimony is the best approach to be a witness, because you know what God had done for you, how God had dealt with you, and you want to share his goodness for your life. So for the Apostle Paul, he says, the Lord had come, and the Lord had wants to use him, right, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness. God wants him to be a witness, to bring light. And so, you know, his conversion came with a bright light from heaven, so much so that he was blinded. He lost his sight. God restored it again so that he can continue life. And for us too, when we meet God, God gives to us a new life. And God wants you, right, to be a witness for him. And Paul told Agrippa in verse 19, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He says that I remember what Jesus said to me, and I am willing to pay a price to be a witness for my Lord. And so he shared how God had been good to save him, and that he was not disobedient, verse 19 says, unto the heavenly vision. He did not take his salvation for granted. God saved him so that he may serve his master. And for us too. For me, I caught the spirit of fulfilling the Great Commission during a night class in the Far Eastern Bible College, studying the systematic theology for eschatology on the last days. And our late principal, the Reverend Timothy Toh, he gave the message that there is no escape for mankind outside Jesus Christ. The only escape from this judgment is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, we are the privileged people with the message of salvation. The only solution is missions, accelerated missions, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then the end shall come. Then we were led to sing the hymn written by our pastoral advisor, Dr. Toh Siang Hua. The last hour, the sunset burns in western sky, upon the air a warning cry. The siren wails from tower to tower, dear brethren, this the last hour. It was the year 2001. before September 11. And you would wake up in the evening, and I woke up in the evening, prompted, go and switch on the television, and I saw the Twin Towers, the plane ramping into the Twin Towers, the siren wails from tower to tower. Dear brethren, this the last hour. How would you respond when you see and understand the sign of the times? Well, it's not a time for games and play. The consummation of the age. The days are coming to a close. And the world is awaiting a judgment to come. And the Lord revealed it to us. To help us to see, we study the book of Revelation. To help us to see that a day is coming when this world will be judged. And there will be nothing left. We studied with the youth and it said all the islands were fled away. So why do we want to spend time to build an earthly existence? Well, may we be willing to think and consider what God is doing for you, what God has done for you, and be willing to use your time wisely for the kingdom's sake. So while you're in the workplace this week, while you're in your school, look at the people around you. Look at the soul that is there. If they do not know Jesus Christ, they are going to be consigned to hellfire. And the Lord wants us to understand the preciousness of a soul. And we find ourselves inadequate. How can we do anything? We can't. But the Lord must lay upon us the wisdom how we may bring that gospel to that person. How we may be able to share it with them. And is this your concern? Is this something that you think about daily in your life? Do you pray about it? Is there some people that you are thinking in your life that you are concerned about that are still outside God's kingdom that God wants you to reach out to? Well, may you pray for them. Take time to pray and then pray that God would give you an opportunity to share forth the truth so that they may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. His kingdom indeed has come. May we be ready. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in our lives. Help us to see the nearness of Thy return, even at the doors. May Thou be gracious to help us to be a witness for Thee. Lord, we are unworthy. We don't know how. We have no wisdom. But wisdom comes from Thee, and You have promised us all power in heaven and earth is given to Thy people as we go out for Thee. Lord, may Thou help us to go forth with the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. Lord, may Thou use Thy people. And Lord, may Thou use this witness, this feeble witness of Thy people here. Energize Thy people with Thy Spirit, that we may be able to go forth and church the unchurched, to bring those who are still outside Thy kingdom to Thy kingdom. Lord, may Thou be merciful to open our spiritual eyes to the urgency of the times. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.